episode of the Young Power Rangers podcast. Today, I believe, is episode 14, and today we are talking about the C20 Enhanced Evolution Upgrade. We can try to get this done in around 30 minutes. So, hopefully. A shorter half episode also will stop me from getting entirely high off of Haribo mini rainbow frogs.
All right. We're Ezra's going to be here with.
If I start bouncing off the walls,
and I.
That's why. They're going to remain sane, and I'm eating candy because I have cabin fever, even though I just worked out.
Okay. All right, so Arcane Maelstrom is the teamer deck for Commander 2020. So the commander of this deck is Calamax the Storm Sire. So Calamax is one, a green, a blue, and a red for a 4/4 legendary creature, Elemental Dinosaur. Whenever you cast your first instant spell each turn, if Calamax the Storm Sire is tapped, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. And whenever you copy an instant spell, put a +1/+1 counter on Calamax. Okay, so the kind of the game plan for Calamax is to make sure Calamax is tapped. And once Calamax is tapped, to cast a lot of instant spells and abuse Calamax's ability to copy them, because it's a very, very strong ability to copy these. And so there's a lot of instant cards that are really good. And so the game plan is just to play good instants and overwhelm your opponents with your value, basically.
Yeah. Okay. So you're copying lots and lots of instants. I think we could actually have a higher critical mass of instants in this deck, though, because it seems like there's a lot of creatures. But
yeah, 21 creatures in this deck.
Seems like a lot. There's only 26 instants, 25 instants.
Yep.
Which and doesn't seem like a lot, because I think we'd want closer to 30. Right, I think 32 to 36 is generally good for something that's focusing on a specific thing. So I think we want more instants, so you can do that. We're going to talk about potential improvements, but we should talk about the backup commanders first. The first secondary commander is Xyrus, the Writhing Storm, 2 green, blue, red. Yeah. For a legendary creature, Snake Leviathan, 3/5 with flying. Whenever an opponent draws a card, except the first one that they draw in each of their draw steps, create a 1/1 green snake creature token. When Xyrus the Writhing Storm deals combat damage to a player, you and that player each draw that many cards. So, the bigger Xyrus is, the more cards each of you are going to draw. But then you're going to create a bunch of 1/1 green snake creature tokens. This is a really cool card. I really like this card design. And I think this would be a very cool, like, Teemo Voltron deck where you just make it huge and then you use it as a politic thing. And you'd be like, you can draw cards, but you have to let me attack you.
Yeah, people have been kind of comparing this to the Locust God in that you're drawing a lot of cards and creating a lot of tokens. But this is in Teemer, so you get more options and some cool new stuff.
And also, they reprinted Locust God, which is very cool.
Yep. Locust God is in the Timeless Wisdom deck, and that we will be talking about soon, because we have 4 of the 5 deck lists. The 5th one should be dropping soon. I do not know which one. Which,
am I also allowed to mention another one of our favorite reprints?
Why don't you read off our last secondary commander, though?
The partners.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, so Howland Avid Arcanist, 2 and a blue for a 1/4 legendary creature, human wizard, and it has partner with Paco Arcane Retriever, and you may play non-creature cards from exile with fetch counters on them if you exiled them, and you may spend mana as though it were any color to cast those spells.
And then the other half of Haldan, as we said, is Paco, who partners with Haldan. It's 3 already. Yeah, they're friends.
He's a good doggo.
Yeah, very good doggo.
Still don't have the dog errata yet. But
yeah, we want elemental dog. Cats get so much, but cats are dumb. We like doggies. Yeah.
We have Paco is 3, a red and a green for a 3/3 legendary creature, elemental hound with haste. So these commanders actually work more like synergistically, like they go off of each other more than the other commanders, I've noticed. But so Paco says, whenever Paco Arcane Retriever attacks, exile the top card of each player's library and put a fetch counter on each of them. Put a +1/+1 counter on Paco for each non-creature card exiled this way.
So hang on. Let us explain how the backup commanders work. So when you pull out this precon straight out of the box, you can most of the time you're going to be playing Kalamax. But if you want a new challenge, you can try playing either Zyrus, or you can play Paco and Haldim. So when you're just playing this straight out of the box, there's some backup commanders. Normally, the backup commanders end up being, like, more, like, they're, like, sometimes stronger or, like, more popular when they're just built by themselves. But I think in this case, but most of the time, you're going to be playing the face commander because that's what they shape the deck around. And I think for this deck, we do want to be playing Kalamax as the commander.
Yeah, neither of the other two really work nearly as well.
Right, with the rest of the deck.
Definitely.
Yeah, so some decks
I think are, that if you made a deck around them.
Yeah, they're good.
I think they would be good if they were.
Like, yeah, so right, if like one deck that comes to mind. So I was going to say one deck that comes to mind when you're thinking of like decks that have a commander in mind but also work with the secondary commander is Savin the Chronoclasm from last year. Because Savin is interesting, but the deck for Savin works better with Elsha of the Infinite because Elsha is generally regarded as a better commander.
Right.
And so in certain occasions, backup commanders will work better, but typically the deck is built for the center commander. And so in this case, Kalamax is very strong, and the deck is good built around him.
There's normally one each year where it's actually better to not play the face commander, and I think that's been true since C16. Because last year it was, Elsha was better than Savin, and then the year before that, C18, it was the Bant Lady Estrid was not as good as Tuvasa. Because it was a better built as an Enchantress deck and not an untap all of your Enchanted Permanents deck, which is what Estrid did. And then the year before that, C17, one of the Tribal Commanders wasn't as strong. I think it was Arabo. There was a better commander in the Arabo deck, but C17, not really. And then Atraxa, some would argue that it was better to play... Who are the people in the Atraxa deck? The 1/1 counter, Rayhan and Ishai was some considered a stronger fit. Oh no, it wasn't them. It was the Kaneo and Chiro deck was better played as Thrasios Boost Hollow, I think. I think that's what it was. I'm not 100% sure, but anyway, sometimes the backup commanders are better each year. So, all right, why don't we, so we're going to do
ask a question. Oh, okay. Do you guys think that if a deck was made around either of those commanders, do you think the overall deck would be better than Kalamax?
Yeah. Not Paco and Haldon, but like I think Zyrus has the potential to be it might be stronger than Kalamax, but I think Kalamax is the strongest face commander out of all of the cards. Just like straight out power wise, I think Kalamax is the most powerful.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, Kalamax has a lot of potential.
I think when built, so like I'm not sure 100% if Kalamax is going to be the best deck. We haven't seen the Modu deck, but it's probably going to be bad, judging from what we've seen. But I don't even know if this Teemo deck straight out of the box is going to play as the most powerful.
Yeah, I think Kalamax has the most opportunity because his ability and the full power of his ability is the least restrictive. Like with the Jeskai Cycling deck, you have to play cycling cards, which is fairly narrow. Whereas with Kalamax, you just have to play any instant in the history of Magic, which gives you a lot more options and more opportunity to build it very strongly.
Yes.
Yeah. So, shall we get into our main topic here now?
I think I know what it might have been. I think some people were playing Kess over Anala.
Yes.
People were playing Kess over Anala because that. Well, Edgar Markov is insane. Super powerful. The O Dragon. Oh! I figured it out. I'm completely wrong. Nope. To be the most powerful, Scion of the O Dragon over the O Dragon. So Scion is a better commander than the actual O Dragon.
Yes, that makes sense.
All right, I think that's what that was, because the O Dragon was a magnet and it was a 9 mana commander, and it was so easy to just get killed, and it wasn't it was a good card, but Scion was a more powerful commander. But Scion was, again, not a backup commander. Scion was a reprint that could be played as a commander, so that's not normal. Scion was originally from Time Spiral, so it was not originally from C17. But it was a more powerful commander with the deck.
Yeah. So now shall we get into our main topic? Do we have any other things to address?
No, I think we're going to move into the Arcane Maelstrom deck upgrade. We made changes to the deck, 10 in, 10 out. And if you want to pick up all these cards, $7.50 TCG player market price. So not a very big pickup. So yeah, you might even want to combine this with another like deck buy, one of our other budget decks or whatever brew you came up with. Because you might not even hit like some shipping tiers because it's so low. Like, I think you'll sometimes get lower shipping. I mean, it's better because shipping, they just pay one flat cost. So you might want to combine this with another thing. If you buy all five and then you're making changes to all the decks, we're going to be making these episodes for all the decks, 10 in, 10 out for all of them. And, yeah, with that out of the way, let's dive straight in with our first removal and our first replacement.
All right, so, yeah, Miles, go ahead.
I'll read the removal, you can read what's going in.
Okay.
The first card that is coming out of the deck is Predatory Impetus. Predatory Impetus is 4 and a green for an enchantment aura. It enchants a creature, and enchanting creature gets +3/+3. And must be blocked if able, and is goated.
So this is a new code from... This is one of the new codes. We're going to mention it if it's a new code.
Right. I'm pretty sure that they're doing a cycle of all of them. So far, we've seen...
And then there's 3 in each deck. All of them.
We've seen all of them?
And then they're each in all... We've seen all of them, and they're all in each deck. So each deck has 3 of them.
Okay.
Yeah. The card we're going to be putting in for Predatory Impetus is Repeated Reverberation. Repeated Reverberation is 2, a red and a red, to essentially copy an instant or sorcery twice.
Or a Planeswalker ability.
Which could be relevant. So, we just thought that Predatory Impetus is, although okay, decently good,
One of the better codes that we were having issues with removing.
It's slightly... we just think that it's fine, but we think that as a card, Repeated Reverberation is really strong in Kalamax because you can copy Repeated Reverberation with Kalamax, and now you have 4 copies, and that's just so much in it. We think it's a really good card to have in the deck. And so Predatory Impetus is one of the cards that we feel could be taken out in this case.
And then, here's the thing with Kalamax. We're not rules experts, so we might get this wrong, but when you cast repeated reverberation, it's an instant. So, okay, well, let's say this type of game plan. We swing with Kalamax, and then Kalamax says, as long as I'm tapped, I copy my first instant spell each turn. So that's the effect. And then we cast Repeated Reverberation. It checks. Kalamax is tapped because we attacked with Kalamax. So it targets... We copy Repeated Reverberation. And so those both resolve, and they both say, whenever we cast the next instant spell, you copy it twice. So the next instant spell that we cast... This is where we might be getting it wrong, but I think you'll copy it 4 times.
I think you get 5. If I cast Shock, I get 5 shocks.
No, because first instant spell each turn. So Calamax only copies Repeated Reverberation. It doesn't copy the next spell after that.
Yeah, I know, you have two Repeated Reverberations.
Right.
And so they both trigger when you cast Shock, hypothetically. You get that. Two shocks with the first Repeated Reverberation, two shocks on the second, and you get five shocks total.
Okay, well, let's use the example of Beast Within. Beast Within is... Miles, go ahead. This is yours.
All right. It is two and a green for an instant. Destroy target permanent. Its controller creates a 3/3 green beast creature token.
Yeah, so very strong staple. We're putting this in for Tribute to the Wild. Tribute to the Wild is a similar, but we believe it's not as good. Tribute to the Wild is one and a green for an instant. Each opponent sacrifices an artifact or enchantment. So when we copy it with Calamax, we either get to, like, sacrificing the issue with that, though, is they get to choose which one it is. And because it's limited to, they can choose it in artifact or enchantment, I think most of the time, they'll have something decent to sacrifice, like something bad that they want to sacrifice, like a mana rock instead of hitting what we want, like a Sigil of the Empty Throne or something.
Or like a Soul Ring.
Or an Omniscience, right. They sacrifice a Soul Ring or a Talisman, or we'll get to that later. But, or like a Locket. And so we like Beast Within because it hits any permanent at the cost of giving them a 3/3. But that 3/3 is almost negligible. So now we imagine we do this, this is, again, wild, but Repeated Reverberation copies it four times. We get five copies of Beast Within. We hit the five biggest things on the board, and they get negligible 3/3s.
Or we hit five lands.
And then because they were all copies, we now have Calamax is... He copied the original Repeated Reverberation, and then each are copied. So Calamax is now a 9/9. So we have the giant elemental dinosaur, and they have some 3/3s.
Yeah, so Tribute to the Wild, I just want to say, it's cool, and it does get around, like, certain situations of Hexproof, but Hexproof is a lot less common in artifacts and enchantments than it is in creatures.
And I think them being able to choose just knows it so much.
It's kind of a little too situational, and we think that Beast Within is just, it's just better, frankly.
It's broader. It's much broader. Yeah. All right, Honor's Ornament.
So... We are going to be taking out Bonder's Ornament. So Bonder's Ornament is 3 mana for an artifact. Tap, add 1 mana of any color. And then it has the activated ability to pay 4 and tap. Each player who controls a permanent named Bonder's Ornament draw a card. So this is like Manolith, but with extra steps.
It sounds like 4 mana, draw 1 card. That could potentially mean your opponent's drawing 1 card.
It's strictly better Manolith, but Manolith is not that great in this deck, especially because we want to be. It is powerful in this deck to cast Calamax turn 3 and then start on our engine turn 4. So we really want to be ramping on turn 2, not turn 3. So as a result, we have Talisman of Impulse. Talisman of Impulse is 2 mana for an artifact, and it taps to add a... it taps to add a colorless, but it also, you can tap it and then lose 1 life. Wait, hold on.
So it taps for a colorless, and you can tap it for either a blue or a red, and you lose 1 life.
Oh, I did get it right. Okay. Yeah, this card deals you damage. So I think this is a much better card than Bonder's Ornament. It taps for 2 of our colors instead of only 1, but it also... Because it's at 2 mana, it helps us fix... We only need the last color in order to cast Calamax. And I think Bonder's Ornament is just clunky. It's 4 mana. We're probably not going to have that much mana because we're trying to save up mana to be able to cast off on everyone else's turn with Calamax. Because Calamax says once each turn. So we want to do stuff on... So let's say we're sitting at a 4-player table. We've got me, Charlie, Miles, Luke. And then I'm the Calamax player. I swing with Calamax, so Calamax is tapped. We go to Charlie's turn. Charlie does whatever, and then I cast a spell. Then we go to Luke's turn, and I cast another spell and gets it copied. Then we go to Miles' spell. Miles' turn, and then I cast another spell, and it also gets copied by Calamax. So to maximize our value, we want to be casting a spell on each turn.
And have our mana open.
Right, and then so in order to do that, we need to be able to ramp on turn two and get Calamax out as early as we can start our engine.
We also just need a lot of mana so that way we can play spells every turn.
Right. Yeah. And then so Talisman of Impulse, like the one damage is almost nothing for us. And I just don't think that it's going to end up being that great.
Bonders Ornament also, it's four and tapping to draw one card. And if you're spending five mana to draw one card in your turns, you really don't want to be doing that in Commander. And if you're very attached to a card that an artifact that taps for mana and in itself draws you a card, then just play like Mindstone. It's only two mana.
We also have better forms of card draw that we're putting in for some of the weaker forms of card draw in the deck. So we're taking out Primal Empathy and replacing it with Colossal Majesty.
So what do you want to tell us what Primal Empathy is, Ezra?
Okay, Primal Empathy is one green to blue for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, draw a card if you control a creature with the greatest power among creatures on the battlefield. Otherwise, put a 1/1 counter on a creature you control. So, it checks, do you have the biggest creature? If not, put a 1/1 counter on a creature you control. I just don't think, Calamax can get big, but because this doesn't actually normally draw us a card every turn, even if we do have Calamax on the battlefield, it's still situational. We have a better enchantment that will guarantee us a card if we have Calamax out.
Yeah, so Colossal Majesty is somewhat similar. It's two and a green for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you control the creature with power 4 or greater, draw a card. So this is somewhat similar, but Calamax has 4 power. Yeah, you're drawing a card every turn. It's very good.
For this deck, because we have a 4-power commander.
Yeah, so Calamax already gives you 4 power, so you play, turn 2 Colossal Majesty, turn 3 Calamax, and now every upkeep you're drawing an addition, at the beginning of each of your upkeep,
We only can do that with Sol Ring, though.
Yeah.
There's only one code in our deck that would allow us to play a turn 2 Colossal Majesty. But we're hoping.
It's just, it's almost strictly better, but the +1/+1 counters could hypothetically be better.
Yeah, but I think because it's so situational, we don't even get the 1/1 counter if we have the biggest creature. I think it's just so limited, and we're not actually going to be drawing card that so much of the time. Especially when we're playing in a time where everyone's going to be running around with the 25-25 colossificationed monsters.
Colossified.
Colossification.
Cast Colossification to Colossify.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the biggest creature you could get, almost.
Cast Colossification to Colossify my Colossal Dreadmaw.
Colossus of Akros.
Yes, exactly. Mm. On your monstrous. Colossus.
Oh, do it on your Grun the Lonely King.
Yeah.
What would that be? It's a 10-10, it's a 30-30, and it doubles, it would be a 60-60. Because it's a 5, it's a 10-10.
If it attacks alone.
Whenever it attacks alone, you double it. So you kick it, and then you colossify it.
And then you give it trample somehow.
Yeah, and then you give it trample somehow. And then it's a 60-60 trample. You should make a mechanic that's like player trample for Commander. If you kill a player, the extra damage tramples over to some other player.
They really should. I can kill 1.5 people with this.
Saskia.
Saskia. Saskia. No, but if you kill a player, then the extra damage goes over.
That sounds challenging, but okay. Let's move on here, Miles.
All right, the next card that is coming off is Crackling Drake. We know what this is.
Yep, blue, red. This was the signpost uncommon for the Izzet in the one of the Ravnica sets.
Guilds of Ravnica. And it also was reprinted in Commander 2019.
Mm-hmm. It's a star 4 creature Drake with flying. Its power is equal to the number of instants and sorcery spells you own in exile and in your graveyard when it ETBs, draw a card. These were pretty powerful spells, but because we're in a 3-colored deck, this is already a kind of restrictive and hard to cast spell based on its mana cost.
Turn 4, you need 2 islands and 2 mountains, or 2 things that produce blue and 2 things that produce red. Which also means that you can't get any green mana out until turn 5.
Which is a really what we want early, though. So we can do it with stuff like Moss Fire Valley is like the only code in the deck. I guess there's other stuff that you can do it with, but like that enters untapped. Anyways, since the mana base is not that strong with this deck, we're probably not going to have blue, red, red on turn 4. Also, we have more important stuff to do on turn 4, Kalamax. So, it's not all about how it just performs in the beginning of the game, but this doesn't really scale that much with the rest of the game. It's powerful, but yet doesn't really synergize that well with the rest of the deck, and we want to replace it with instants and sorceries, and also stuff that synergizes better with instants and sorceries. So, cards like these are, some of them are coming out. I think you want to remove, even though we didn't remove a lot of the creatures, if you can, you can remove a lot of the creatures. Haldan and Paco will be fine to take out. Itali Primal Storm, very good card, move it to another one of your decks. It's just not that strong in this deck. Wart the Raid Mother might be able to come out. Gigantotherium might be able to come out. Ravenous Gigantotherium, that's one of the new cards.
Just look through them,
and then figure out which creatures you don't need, and then replace them with instants, because that's really what we want to be doing.
Or things that, synergize with the copying of the instants.
Right, such as God Eternal Kefnet.
That was smooth.
I know, very smooth, and I was about to do
this
it
This time, Segway Man did not go off a cliff.
Okay.
God Eternal Kefnet is two blue for a legendary creature zombie god. It is a 4/5 with flying. You may reveal the first card you draw each turn as you draw it. Whenever you reveal an instant or sorcery card this way, copy that card and you may cast the copy. That copy costs 2 less to cast. And when God Eternal Kefnet, okay. I'm making sure I don't say it wrong. When God Eternal Kefnet, thank you, Ezra, dies or is put into exile from the battlefield, you may put it into its owner's library 3rd from the top.
This is a good card. Whenever we draw our first card each turn, we have lots of instant type card draws. You should add more instant speed card draw. We were just adding in slightly more essential things for the deck, but I think you want to add more instant speed card draw, such as stuff like Impulse, Opt, Brainstorm. Wait, Brainstorm is an instant?
Yes, Brainstorm is an instant.
Yeah. So Brainstorm is a very good card in this deck as well. And anyways, God Eternal Kefnet makes all your copies cheaper, and then also when you copy stuff, makes Kalamax bigger. This does everything we want for this deck. That's why we put this in, despite its $2.76 price tag. If you can't get that type of money, it's fine. Replace it with another card that allows you to copy stuff. Though some of those are cheap, but I'm gonna do a bad segue now. God Eternal Kefnet was enslaved by Bolas, but guess who wasn't enslaved by Bolas and then punched Bolas in the face and killed him? No, he didn't. But he was there on Ravnica. Jace was.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I lost you somewhere in there.
Hey, yeah, Jace, Architect of Thought. Jace dies in this case, though. Jace, Architect of Thought, is a total flop and shouldn't have been put as the Planeswalker in this deck. Jace, Architect of Thought, 2 blue creature Jace, 4 mana, has a +1 until your end of turn. Whenever a creature an opponent controls attacks, it gets -1/-0 until end of turn. -2, reveal the top 3 cards of your library. An opponent separates those cards into 2 piles, put 1 pile into your hand, and the other on the bottom of your library in any order, and -8 for each creature. Search that player's library for a non-land card and exile it. Then that player shuffles their library, and you may cast those cards without paying their mana cost. Play this in your doubling season Atraxa decks when you have $10,000, because then you can ultimate immediately. Otherwise, it's going to die when people see the ultimate, and also the plus one and minus two are bad.
Well, Jason, we're not running Planeswalkers for their ultimates.
Right, that too.
Jace is a... It's a decent card, but
it's better in Pioneer. Play it in Pioneer.
Yeah, in Pioneer, but it's really not very in line with our game plan right now.
Nothing with instance. Like, yeah. That's what we want, though.
It draws us a few cards, but there's some specific other Planeswalkers we're about to talk about that do a lot more for a game plan, such as Rao Storm Conduit.
Conduit? He didn't get punched in the face by Bolas. Wait, is he dead? I'm not even keeping track anymore.
Okay, so... Ral is 2 a blue and a red for a legendary Planeswalker. Oh, 1 sec.
We need to check up on Ezra. Ezra, how much candy have you had?
Oh, I haven't eaten a gummy frog in like 30 minutes. I'm fine.
Okay.
It's okay, I'm kidding. Okay, I'm fine!
Alright, continue, Charlie.
We're replacing it with Ral. So Ral is 4 mana for a Planeswalker. Starts with 4 loyalty. When it has the passive ability, whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, Ral Storm Conduit deals 1 damage to target opponent or Planeswalker. Or copy. Scry 1. -2. Whenever you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. Ooh. You may choose new targets for the copy.
This should have been the Planeswalker in the deck. I'm just going to say that out right now.
Almost as if it was built for this deck.
Yeah, literally, it copies stuff. It deals damage when it copies stuff. Like, what are you doing? Seriously?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Ezra's upset. Ezra, just eat another gummy frog that we have here.
Oh, that's a weird trivia thing. Okay. The art for Ral is at Viceroy. Shows him holding a piece of white fabric, and he's wearing it on his wrist in the Mythic Edition, and in various art through the Guilds of Ravnica block. So he's wearing this nice piece of white fabric, and they're like, what is this? It's a piece of Tomic's robe, and he's wearing a piece of Rawl's red robe on his wrist, and that's pretty hot.
Right. Alright.
Weird trivia, but Rawl and Tomic, may you guys have a happy relationship. You guys are cool. Already, like, giving
we're
each other...
We're not discussing lore right now, Ezra.
Alright. The next card we're getting rid of... is a couple of massive beasts that could have punched Bolas in the face.
But they didn't, and they died.
Ezra, you need to calm down.
I was trying to just move on from making fun of Ezra's segue. A couple of beasts that could have punched Bolas in the face. Clash of Titans. It is 3 red-red for an instant, and target creature fights another target creature. Like, I see where they're trying to go with this. It's an instant, and you can have a couple of opponent's creatures fight each other. But at the same time, for 5 mana, you could just, like, put in a much better thing. Something a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, it's 5 mana is really expensive, and for even, like, 2 mana, you can have much better cards. Like, Reality Shift. I don't know. Yeah, so Reality Shift is a pretty well-known card. It's 1 and a blue for an instant. Exile target creature. Its controller manifests the top card of their library. So, I mean, this is only 2 mana, and it's arguably just better as a card than that Clash of Titans. In reality, it's a lot cheaper, it's a lot more efficient, and...
Cheaper in terms of mana, not in terms of money.
Yeah, Clash of Titans is just kind of lackluster as a card.
It's clunky.
Yeah.
Reality Shift, yeah, better card, and then... We're going to talk about some buff dudes who also punched Bolas in the face, but they didn't because they were trapped on Zendikar. But we're going back to Zendikar, so we're going to say hi to our friends, the Tajuru, and strength of the Tajuru, X-Green-Green, for an instant with multi-kicker, 1. and choose target creature, then choose another target creature for each time strength of the Tajiru was kicked. Put a put X plus one counters on each of them. It's plus one counters, and you get to do lots and lots of plus one counters, except it's just weird, and, oh, I tried to click on it, and it said 502 get bad gateway. Anyways, it's not that much of a good card, and instead we're running the Simic Talisman. Talisman of Curiosity, only 38 cents.
It is two. Right. For an artifact, you can tap it for a colorless, or you can tap to add a green or a blue, and it does one damage to you. It's just clean, good old artifact ramp, which is good because we need to get, like,
a lot of mana.
God, I'm forgetting his name.
Calamex?
Yeah, thank you. Calamex, because we want to get Calamex out on turn three.
You know what's really great but sucks because it doesn't punch you in the face like the Talisman?
Oh my god!
What?
Eon Frolicker! Eon Frolicker is two blue blue. For a creature elemental auto 5/5 with flying, and when Eon Frolicker enters the battlefield, if you cast it, target opponent takes an extra turn after this one. Until your next turn, you and planeswalkers you control gain protection from that player. I'd be much more willing to like this card if it had flash, because then you'd be able to do cool shenanigans, but like, it's giving your opponent an extra turn, so it could be used as a, like a politic thing, but you also get protection from that player. I just think the protection is not doesn't outweigh the, giving them an extra tone. I mean, I guess it would be it's cool if you use it on the arch enemy, like the person who's like obviously ahead, and you give them an extra tone, but then they can't attack you. Oh wait, okay, yeah, that's fine. So then they just attack everyone else, but then when it swings back to you, they're so far ahead that you die.
Yeah,
I just can't really think of a situation that this is that great.
This card's cool, but it does kind of
keep you alive for another turn. Like, it might get you second place, but...
Yeah,
If you're not first, you are a loser.
Exactly.
Getting.
It's nice to have a 4-mana 5/5 flyer, but...
What is this, limited?
Yeah, that's
right. Welcome back to the Limited Resource Young Pyromancers podcast. My name's Louis Scott Vargas, and we talk about 5/5 for 4 mana.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good card. It's good, but it doesn't do that much. And letting your opponent time walk is really not ideal.
Right. So, anyway, we like Limited Resources. They're a pretty cool podcast. Yeah, go listen to Limited Resources if you like draft.
Maybe one day they'll be as highly followed as us.
Never. It's not like they they don't have a
Charlie, you got it backwards here.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
we're the most popular podcast ever. We're more popular than the Joe Rogan Experience.
Okay. So, Eon Frolicker is decent, but we think that cards, a card, for example, that fits our game plan a little better is increasing.
It does punch you in the face. That's why it's good.
Is increasing vengeance.
That's how Bullet feels towards Jace,
because he punched him in the face. Because Jace punched Bullets. Increasing vengeance is a red for a thing that punches bullets in the face.
Go ahead,
Charlie. We're done being stupid.
Yeah,
but so we're not.
Vengeance is red. It's kind of like Fork. It copies target instant or sorcery spell you control, but it has flashback for 3 red. And if this spell was cast from a graveyard, copy that spell twice. You may choose new targets. So, you know, it's just a copy spell. They're pretty good in this deck.
It's very good with Calamax, though, because you copy the copy, and then you get two copies.
Copy.
Bolas. Punch.
Bolas?
Bolas, more like punch.
You know what Bolas rhymes with?
Alright, commune with lava.
Ezra, I'm saying this card because I've got an awful segue. Okay.
Alright,
probably communes with this with lava a lot because it's because fire is because he breathes fire, which is the byproduct of lava. Commune with lava.
That was terrible.
I know.
That
I'm well aware. Commune with lava.
Look at this dude, though. Look at the dude on this art. Seriously. Like, he's like, I don't want to be here! I'm dipping my hands in lava, but I love it!
He's wearing some weird bolus mask. Alright, continue.
He's wearing a bolus mask so that he can't get punched.
I'm sorry, Charlie. Commune with lava. X red red for an instant. Exile the top X cards of your library. You may play those
until the end of your next turn.
Thank you. Exile the top X cards of your library. Until the end of your next turn, you may play those cards.
You have protection from Jace punches. How did we get here? How did we get here? We're going to replace this with Howl of the Horde. Which is basically how Bullet looks after he got punched by Jace. Except he's a Mardu orc dude. Howl of the Horde is 2 and a red for a sorcery. When you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. You may also choose new targets for the copy. Has raid. If you attacked with a creature this turn, when you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell an additional time. You may choose new targets for the copy, except all targets must be named Nicol Bolas Planeswalker, and the spell's name becomes Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Alright, so, think that Howl the Horde is better. Yes.
It's sadly a sorcery, but if it had been instant, would have been super good, but it's still good.
Well, yeah, we think it's okay to remove card draw or some card advantage for card copying because
that's the whole point of the deck. Because we just need to punch Bolas in the face a couple more times.
Yeah, so I'm gonna
every time you copy it, it punches Bolas in the face. And also, if you want to punch Bolas in the face for us, you can email us at youngpyrocast@gmail.com. Okay. Send us your questions and anything and send us your stuff. And before we get out of here, we're going to do a...
I'm going to click random card. So I'm going to...
It's a competition, card. Charlie.
I'm pretending I clicked random card so I can read a card. So the card I have completely randomly chosen is Really Epic Punch.
Yes!
Really Epic Punch. I want to agree.
Yeah, Really Epic Punch. It's a...
Come on, it's from Unstable. It's 1 and a green for sorcery. Target creature you control gets +2/+2. If it's a host or has augment, then it fights target creature you don't control. It smarts more than the average bear.
There's also Savage Punch, and there's also Gravitic Punch.
So basically, This is what happened to Bolas. Anyways, on to the random card competition. 3.
Okay.
2. 1. Hit it!
Sphere of Resistance. I hate it. Sphere of Resistance, a 2-man artifact. Spells cost 1 more to cast. Gets rid of your storm decks.
I got Pulse
of Morana. Also, all these monsters.
Project
Pulse of what?
Mimic?
Morasa.
Oh, Progenitor Mimic?
Progenitor.
Okay, Miles wins. Read Pulse of Morasa, because that's not a bad card.
Okay. Or not. Thank you for listening, guys.
Wait.
We're not going to read Progenitor Mimic?
We need to read our cards.
Progenitor
Mimic. We could just say Punch Bolas. He has a sword.
Progenitor Mimic, it is 4, a green and a blue for a 0/0. You may have Progenitor Mimic Punch Bolas when it enters the battlefield as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it gains at the beginning of your upkeep Punch Bolas.
If Punch Bolas
isn't a token, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of this creature.
Jace punches Bolas. Everybody punches Bolas, and I don't even know how we got here. But anyways, thanks everyone for watching. do whatever you want with your life. Also, we are now making me a custom magic card that has tap punch bolus. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Young Pirate Rangers podcast and
our terrible segues.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to Charlie and Miles for being on here, and especially Charlie for bearing with Miles and I being stupid. Okay, bye, everyone. See you next episode.